For the past month or so now, we've been talking about this idea of finding God in the world. And it only makes sense that if God created the universe and everything in the universe, that God would be, could be, found in his creation. And one of the things I love about the Bible is that it lets us know that even when we don't recognize God's presence or God speaking to us in the world, creation itself does. And there's a number of psalms that kind of intimate this. For instance, in Psalm 66, it says, "All the earth will worship you and sing praises to you." In one of my favorite verses, in Isaiah 55, it talks about how the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, O Lord, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. What a beautiful image that is. And so, as I've been saying now for a couple of weeks, for those with eyes to see and ears to hear, God continues to speak. And when we become aware of God's voice, and when we recognize him at work in our midst, like the trees of the field, the most natural response for us is praise and thanksgiving. That is always going to be how we respond. And I think that's what Paul is getting at in our scripture reading today from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in his letter to the people, to the Christians that were living in Thessalonica at the time. And he wrote to them, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." So Paul lets us know, really explicitly here, what the will of God is for us. And what the will of God is, very clearly, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks to God in all circumstances. All circumstances. I'm going to get back to that word here in just a minute. But before I do, I want to say something else. There's a lot in this short little text. There's a lot going on. He also says, test everything. He says, run everything, hold everything up to what we know about Jesus and what we know about his message of good news. And hold it up. If it doesn't line up with what we know about Jesus, then throw out the bad, rather, and keep the good. Hold fast to what is good. It may sound kind of trite, but this idea of WWJD, you've probably seen those wristbands before, it really works. If you hear somebody saying something or see somebody doing something and it doesn't really line up with something that you can imagine Jesus saying or doing, and this holds true for you too, you probably need to be careful. I don't care who they are, you need to be careful, because that's not where God wants us to be. We need to test everything. And I think that's fairly easy when it comes to some of the stuff that we see in the world, some of the stuff we've been talking about, in fact, over the past couple of weeks. The stuff that pops up in our culture, whether it be news or movies or books or songs or any of that, we can kind of hold it up to what we know about Jesus and test it that way and say, how does this line up with what I believe about Jesus? It becomes a little bit more difficult in your own life, in what I would describe as your circumstance. That's the word Paul uses when he says, give thanks in all your circumstances. That word actually comes from the original Latin word, which is circumstare, which means to encircle or to encompass. It's what's going on around you, encircling you, encompassing you, all of the time, every day. And God can speak to us in circumstances as well as in other ways too. God can speak to us in our circumstance. Now, sometimes there's stuff going on around you that it doesn't point to anything else. Sometimes it just is random and meaningless. That's okay. Not everything is a sign, and you need to know that. But I do believe that God continues to speak, and God speaks to us and is speaking to us sometimes in our circumstance. Let me give you a what I think is a good example of this. Years ago, I had a wise pastor friend tell me, Anytime somebody new comes to your church, you need to pay attention to that. Because either you have something that they need, or probably even more than likely, they have something that you need that they're bringing. Great example of this, Tammy will remember this. Years ago, we had this woman show up at our church, and she'd had a traumatic brain injury. She was and had had major brain surgery and was not operating at full capacity, but she had a little daughter that she was raising. She was a neighbor to the church, and she showed up, and what we discovered was that at first we thought she needed us, but what we came to realize is that we needed her. We needed to take care of her, and the church just came together around her, and they loved her, and they supported her, and they took care of her, and she was a neighbor, and it was a good thing for the church. She had something we needed, and we became aware of that in our circumstance. And so that's one of the ways that God speaks to us. The big question for us is not whether God is speaking, but whether or not we're receiving. Are we paying attention? Are we listening? And are we responding? Now, my experience has been that when God speaks, more often than not, it's in subtle ways, in quiet ways. A good example of this is the way Jesus taught. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. When Jesus taught, his favorite way of teaching was in parables. And a parable is a real subtle way of getting a point across. So rather than just kind of explicitly tell people what he wanted them to know about God or about the kingdom of God, Jesus would say things like, once upon a time there was a man who had two sons, and one of those sons went off and he spent all of his money in wild living. Or once upon a time there was a farmer who spread seeds in the soil. Now you've got to do a little bit of work to get that. So rather than shout at them that God wants his word to grow in you and take root in you and become an important transforming part of your life, rather than shout that, he whispered the truth to them in a kind of a new way, in a way that nobody had ever really seen before. And I think that that's how God prefers to communicate. God prefers the whisper to the shout. But I also believe that when that doesn't work, God is always ready to raise the volume a little bit and speak in a little bit louder voice. And so he prefers to speak in that still small voice, just like when we read the story of Elijah and we see how God spoke, not in the drama of the fire or the earthquake or the wind, but in that still small voice. But occasionally, when that doesn't work, again, he knows how to get our attention. It's kind of like when my kids were little. Sometimes most of the time I could be really patient and I could speak quietly and gently to them. But when that didn't work, occasionally Daddy had to roar. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Okay, sometimes dads have to roar, and when you roar, you get attention. I remember my dad roaring. Not a fun thing, but he got your attention. I think that's how God works too. Sometimes he has to roar to get our attention. There's a story that I think is a good illustration of this. It was going around on the internet a couple of years ago about a guy, young executive, rich guy, was driving his Jaguar sedan through the city and really not paying a whole lot of attention. But he knew he was in a neighborhood where there were a lot of kids. So he was kind of watching to make sure that no kids ran out between parked cars or anything like that. And as he went along, he thought he saw something, and then he didn't. And then all of a sudden he heard this crash, and he looked in his rearview mirror and he saw a brick bouncing down the side of the road. And he realized that somebody had thrown a brick at his brand new Jaguar. And he was just so mad, slams on the brakes, turns around, goes back. Sure enough, he finds a kid with a buzz cut haircut, and he grabs him by the shirt and slams him up against the parked car and says, "What are you doing? You just threw a brick at my brand new Jaguar. You have any idea how much that's going to cost to fix?" And the little boy says, "Mister, I'm really sorry. I didn't know what else to do." And then the executive noticed that there was a little boy laying in the street in a wheelchair tipped over next to him. And the boy went on to explain that his brother had fallen out of his wheelchair, tipped over the curb, fallen into the street, and that he was really afraid something worse was going to happen, and he couldn't get anybody else to stop, and so he just did the last thing he could think of. He threw a brick to get somebody's attention. When all of this became clear to this young man, he helped the boy back into his wheelchair, made sure they got safely back onto the sidewalk and down the street, and the story ends by saying that this young executive never had the dent in his door fixed. He left it there as a reminder to himself to never go so fast through life that somebody has to throw a brick to get your attention. And again, I do think that that God sometimes can do that. His preferred way is to whisper to us in that still small voice, but I think sometimes when that doesn't work, watch out for the brick. And that brick can come in lots of different ways. It might be as simple as the doctor, and some of us have had this experience, the doctor saying, if you don't start to exercise, lose weight, and take care of yourselves, you're not going to live to see your grandchildren grow up. There's a brick, and there, fortunately, there are doctors that are willing to throw that one. Or it can be something more complicated, like depression or addiction or broken relationships. Those can be bricks too. But again, I don't think that that's God's preferred mode of speaking. I think God prefers to speak to us in that still small voice. The point is, we have a choice every day. We can listen to the whisper and respond, or we can wait for the brick. But either way, God is speaking, and it's all done out of love. See, either one is done because God loves us. And I think that's what Paul was getting at in either the whisper or the brick. Those are the two things you got to wait for and watch for. I think what Paul was getting at here was to give thanks in all circumstances, because ultimately God, whether it's good or bad, God is seeking out our best. God's will for us is that we be happy and healthy and whole and in relationship with Him. I'm here to tell you that life is so much better when you listen to the whisper and respond and don't wait for the brick. It just, I don't know how else to say it, it just gets exponentially better when you listen for that still small voice. I want to share with you a story that's kind of personal, very personal actually. It's one that I've never shared with maybe just a few people. I don't even know if I've told this story to Tammy before. I may have. I don't know. We'll see. Happened a long time ago. It was when I was going through a really difficult time where I felt like I'd had some bricks thrown at me. And I was doing a lot of walking. I would go out and I would walk and I would walk. And some of you heard me talk about that. That was just the way I worked things out. And I would listen to music when I would go. And my kids tease me because I've got this iPod and it's got like 5,000 songs in one playlist. And I just put it on random. I put it on shuffle. And what I always tell them is that I'm going to let God pick out what I listen to next. So I never know what's going to come up next. And I always say, God's choosing it for me. So I was out walking and thinking and listening to whatever song God picked out for me next. And a song came on. You've probably never heard of it before. A guy named Mark Cohn. He's a singer, songwriter. And the name of the song is Let Me Be Your Witness. And as I'm walking along and I'm thinking, the song comes on and I begin to hear this song as if God is singing the song to me. And suddenly I began to realize very concrete ways, specific ways, how God had been my witness and my defender and my protector. And I think maybe I'd been so kind of preoccupied, so feeling sorry for myself that I hadn't been aware of how God had been doing this for me, even in the recent past. And it just began to crystallize, and it overwhelmed me. I mean, literally overwhelmed me as I was walking along, and all of these things just began to fall in place. It was one of those aha moments that don't always come. They don't come along very often, even for pastors. They don't come along that often. And I began to weep and to cry and to thank God as I was walking, hearing the song, and all of this was coming to me. And this is the part that kind of blew my mind. And this is the kind of the strange part of the whole story, probably why I haven't shared it. all of a sudden I realized there were Kleenex everywhere around me. Everywhere. It was like God knew that I was going to be walking and crying and listening to music at exactly that moment, and he gave me all of these Kleenex as if I needed to wipe my face or blow my nose. I mean, that was just, they were everywhere. Now, I do have to confess that a couple weeks later, I was walking that same route, and I noticed that another house on that block had been teepeed. And so all of that tissue paper that was around me was probably the result of that. But it didn't lessen that experience for me in any way. It, in my mind, still to this day, that was this very subtle way that God had spoken to me in that moment. And he was speaking to me even before I saw the Kleenex, but then it was just like, I knew you were going to be here right at this moment, that you were going to have this recognition right at this time. And again, a reminder of God's constant abiding love for us that never ends. So my message for us all today is really a simple one. And that is that whether it's a whisper or brick, either way, God continues to speak to us. God continues to be active in the world. The question is, are you listening or are you not? And if you're listening, my recommendation to you is exactly like Paul's, and you hear God's voice, rejoice and give thanks, because that is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are at work in the world, all around us, that we just have to have eyes to see and ears to hear, and that we can be aware of your loving presence in our lives, guiding us, protecting us, defending us, being that God that saves us. Guide us and direct us as we continue now in our worship, as we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.